Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
This is Patrick Johnson, founder of Wealth Partner, and this is the show that we're presenting to the community. And I got into the studio today, and Roger Severson, who's here with me, said, hey, today's the day to swim, so you're the host. And so this is my first intro ever, and it is a great privilege and pleasure to be here behind the mic speaking with you all. And the idea here is just to offer good things to the community. I think there will be some shows that have already played by the time you're hearing this one. It kind of sets the context, but bottom line, we have health, wealth, and wisdom. Healthy, Wealthy, Wise show. Within those broad three categories, we have seven dimensions of well-being. And our hope is simply that whether it's from things that I've learned that I'm prattling on about on the air or with a special guest, that you all can just take something away from these shows that adds a depth to your life experience that improves it and leads you deeper or further along on your journey into peace. So that's our goal as a firm. So truly, that's the spirit here. And a little backstory, it's kind of fun. I'm a storyteller. And when I had this idea, I really am missional about this understanding of wealth. When I first came to the studio, I said, hey, I have this idea. And I just sent out an email. I've got this message and it's really playing well within my client community. That is that wealth's a rainbow. Money's one of the colors. I'd like to do a show. Yes, I'm a financial advisor. Yes, that's how we monetize. I'm not trying to get in the way of other financial advisors. I used to be former president of the Financial Planning Association, and know there are a lot of really wonderful men and women in this profession with hearts to help. So I'm not doing this to compete. I'm doing this to put some value out in the community. And Roger, when he came into the meeting, he just thought, okay, one more guy that's going to talk with me about trying to get on the radio for a financial show. I have 15 minutes for you or something like that. I got to get to something else. An hour and a half later, I was saying, hey, Roger, don't you need to go? And he said, well, it was personal stuff. It could wait. This is fascinating. I really have enjoyed this conversation. I love the spirit of what you're trying to do. And so Roger and I have had fun these first few shows, just riffing with each other. And we thought with this one, I would just ask Roger. Well, in fact, we did this in an email exchange, so I'm somewhat prepared with the topic. But there were a few things that jumped out at Roger about our conversation. We'll get into those over the weeks to come. But Roger, I'm going to flip it over to you, and I want you to bring to the table the topic for the day, which I think the listeners will really benefit from. But why was it interesting? What is the topic? All that, however you want to tee it up, and I'll just try to answer as we go.
Okay, that's great. But by the way, you're right. When we went into that meeting, I thought, well, this is going to be another typical, you know, kind of financial, sure, you know, advice show. And it'd be like if I had gone in to see a plumber, electrician, or a restaurant, you know, they all basically have the same kind of formula for what they do. It's just, you know, some slight differences. But once we started talking, I could see that this was going to be a totally different kind of program, and that's what fascinated me about it. So right, you know, that was really the first part of it. And it was like, yeah, I broke the appointment. I said, hey, I've got something going on here. I gotta get to the bottom of this. And I'm glad we were able to come together on this and find a format that I believe is going to be well listened to. And you know, if you miss the program today, all of these are going to be available on podcasts. Mm-hmm. We're going to post it on Patrick's page, and they'll be available on krdo.com. What I wanted to talk about, there's a term that I hear thrown around quite a bit, and it's the term fiduciary. And I only have the tip of the iceberg understanding of what a fiduciary is and why it's important that, you know, your professionals are a fiduciary. Can you explain a little deeper why, what a fiduciary is in, mm-hmm. in you know, wealth management and why it's important yeah. to have a firm or a representative that is a fiduciary?
Yeah, as I'm always going to try to do on the show, just be as objective as possible and just lay it out there. In fact, it's kind of a funny backstory here. A few years ago when I was incubating this wealth partner idea, I was recording a video for a flip book. You know, you could email somebody with collateral for the firm. And I was recording the video with a guy who is my neighbor. He lives behind me. And we had gotten to talking and he realized that he was a video producer. And so he shot the video and I used the word fiduciary. And you could just see his face just kind of, I should know that word, but I don't. And yet I kind of do. I know that it's important, but why? So fiduciary, the broader term, is just the professional that you're working with, or when somebody has a fiduciary obligation to somebody else, it's just that they're going to put your best interest first with no consideration for their own well-being on any dimension. So it's a really high standard, and you're going to find that with various professionals. Within the financial services space, it is confusing because we are held to two different standards, and you can choose which standard that you want to hold yourself to. And this is how you file with the SEC. So one is as a registered representative of a sales organization, basically, and you have a suitability standard, and that standard is effectively that you have an obligation to make a suitable sale at the time of sale with no real ongoing obligation to the client. So that is the way our profession has built itself as a sales organ, you know, sales organizations basically, and those have gotten really large. In fact, well, I think everybody, I'm not 100%, but within our firm that is the asset management side of our business, I think everybody was a former, you know, Merrill, Morgan, Goldman type who chose to register as fiduciaries. Now, why would we make that choice? Well, we had our own personal reasons. And again, I love this profession. I think we evolve. We were stockbrokers, or, you know, really bankers and insurance people, then stockbrokers and then financial planners and then fee-only financial planners and then fee-based, fee-only. What's the difference there? I mean, it just started the water started getting really murky. And so I don't know how long the fiduciary standard has been available, but it was around 2005 when we started our firm that it was becoming a big deal within the cohort of advisors that truly are seeking to give good long-term counsel for folks and have folks really rest in that counsel, knowing that it was in their best interest. So maybe in the 90s, early 2000s or so, but we all decided, the founders of SRS, which Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors. SRS Capital Advisors is where I built my business, and they are wonderful. We built it from scratch. We had $20 million under management when we started. We're managing close to $1.5 billion now. We don't do any advertising. We're doing something right. That is our fiduciary wealth management deliverable. SRS Capital Advisors. Wealth Partner is kind of the parent or overarching brand, because Wealth Partner has the traditional financial counseling offering, but then also has the health and well-being offering. So today we're just speaking specifically about the fiduciary standard. That's going to apply to our financial counseling line, but even within that line, it is only applying to the fiduciary standard that SRS has as registered with the SEC. And there are a lot of other fiduciary advisors. But the reason why an advisor would move to work under the fiduciary standard rather than the suitability standard, well, there's all kinds of reasons. I can't pretend to understand the reasons for everybody. So this is a sweeping generalization. But in general, the rule is, we, coming back to what I said a moment ago, we want to give good counsel that the client can trust and that they know that we're held to a higher standard. So I did pull up some, I just sniffed around on the internet before coming in. So I'm going to read, I forget if this was Forbes or Investopedia, it was a Google search. If anybody wanted to look it up, they'd find it quickly. But this is breaking down the fiduciary rule. Okay, so this is a formal way to understand the fiduciary standard, then I'll stop there and we'll kind of go from there. But you were asking, you know, what is it really, and why would a firm set up like this, and what are the choices? So I started with saying it's not uncommon to have this kind of confusion. Specifically in financial services, it's challenging because you can register two different ways. Like, I think a doctor might have a fiduciary standard. That is the only way a doctor can register. A CPA only has a fiduciary standard within financial service and legal fiduciary standard. And I believe the fiduciary standard applies to all three of those. I'm not 100%. I know it does to legal, certainly. But within financial services, it's just kind of wonky. It's like, well, are you working in my best interest or not? I'm conflicted. I don't really know. And this is literally 2 hours worth of content. We're going to try to hit this in, what, 12 minutes or something. But the definition is important, but that's why we're talking about this definition. So breaking down the fiduciary rule is the header of this. And it says the DOL, the Department of Labor's definition of fiduciary, demands that retirement advisors act in the best interest of their clients and put their clients' interests above their own. It leaves no room for advisors to conceal any potential conflict of interest and states that all fees and commissions for retirement plans and retirement planning advice must be clearly disclosed in dollar terms to clients. Now, that's how the DOL is going to set it up in a courtroom. So if I ever do something as a fiduciary advisor, anybody on my team for that matter, if we do something that's not in the client's best interest, we are flirting with a fire that we don't want to mess with, you know. But then what is the other? So how does it practically apply? So this is from Forbes, says to the suitability standard. And it might be interesting to insert here that estimates are that only about 5% of financial advisors are registered as fiduciaries. 95% are registered with a suitability standard. So we're clarifying the distinction right now, but I would imagine that your follow-up question would be, well, why is this still confusing, or why are there so many still that are registered with the suitability standard, which we can get into if you think listeners would be interested in that. I find in the course of conversation that people do have an interest in that, but I'll let you give me a sanity check there. But first, let me describe what how Forbes lays out the suitability standard. Financial advisors who work for brokerages. So a brokerage would be what I call a big box firm. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but that's not picking on anybody, but names people recognize: Merrill, Morgan, Goldman, but also banks, you know, like Wells Fargo, Ed Jones. These are all brokerages. Just think larger organizations. So again, coming back to this Forbes article, financial advisors who work for brokerages generally are not fiduciaries. They are still, however, held to a lesser legal standard of care called the suitability standard. So you got the fiduciary standard and the suitability standard that I was referencing a moment ago. These non-fiduciary advisors must offer investment advice and product recommendations that are suitable for you. This means that the products generally fit your needs, but may have higher fees or offer the advisor a bigger commission. So you can, that's some real world, that's the Department of Labor ruling, like from the web, and then the Forbes, how they would qualify suitability. And again, you know, 95 and 5, well, I just reversed the order, but about 5% are fiduciaries and 95% are working under the suitability standard. But
I want to pick this up on the other side of the break, because you and I had a conversation a while back when we first started talking about fiduciaries. And I think I have a pretty good idea on this, but I want to go back on how this separates things out. So we're going to be back right after this break.
The Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Show is underwritten by Wealth Partner, a unique wealth management firm based in Colorado Springs. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. We believe prudent stewardship of one's financial life is critical to overall well-being, and this is where we begin our relationship with clients. Our highly personalized financial planning process is designed to reduce stress so clients can more fully enjoy all the dimensions of their true wealth. And to help clients thrive, we also offer powerful, cutting-edge, evidence-based health and well-being services. Wealth Partner is a rapidly growing company, which has evolved out of an award-winning fiduciary wealth management firm, currently managing well over $1 billion in client assets. And our offering is priced at a fraction of the cost of most firms. If this unique approach to wealth management interests you, please visit our website at www.wealthpartner.com. That's wealth spelled W-E-L-L-T-H, W-E-L-L-T-H partner.com.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. I'm visiting with Patrick Johnson with Wealth Partner. We were in the middle of a conversation on fiduciaries and why it's important. Now, you mentioned 5% of financial advisors are fiduciaries. So that would be the cream on top. Those are the people that are legally obligated to work in your best interest. Not saying that the others don't, but you were telling me that the big firms will hire people that aren't fiduciaries, even though higher up in the chain they are fiduciaries, correct?
Yeah. So again, sweeping generalization.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably good to set some context for this too. Like, why is this an issue, and how could you register in two different capacities? And back in 2015, Obama had the same sense. He heard, and this was coming from senators, you know, people are crying out for, who do I trust? I mean, this is, you know, your retirement savings, if you think about what that really is, you have traded life energy. And you've not bought the kids ice cream so you could keep it going in the fourth. But seriously, you know what I mean? Like, this is stored life energy. This is opportunities that you didn't take advantage of because you were trying to be prudent for the long term, right? People that are trusting another person with their stored life energy, they need to have confidence that they can trust. You know, that's the spirit of this rule. Okay. So I'm, again, going to go back to the web. This is actually from Investorpedia, which is a website that I like. But this will give you some insight into the history. The financial industry was put on notice in 2015 that the landscape was going to change. A major overhaul was proposed by President Obama on February 23rd, 2015. Quote, "Today, I'm calling on the Department of Labor to update the rules and requirements that retirement advisors put the best interests of their clients above their own financial interests. It's a very simple principle. You want to give financial advice, you've got to put your client's interests first." Right on. Yeah. You know, that's it. And he was just like, "We're enough of this." Wow. From there, it just, I mean, I was in the business, obviously, at that time. In fact, the reason why I flubbed my line there was because my eyes are starting to do the presbyosa thing, which is driving me crazy. So I was, let's see, we had started SRS around 2005 to 2007. So we were in there as fiduciaries seeing the same thing. Like, we were seeing stuff come across our desk, and I still do today. It's just like, how are they getting away? Like, 3% fee loads, client thinks they're paying one, what? You know, this is just outrageous. And the ruling here, the Department of Labor ruling, was intended to just clean up the mess. And the mess is on a lot of different levels. You know, transparency with fees, scope of practice, just all kinds of things. And he was just trying to make it so that, again, the investing public could just trust that they were getting counsel that was in their best interest. Well, here it gets interesting. So I think it was that same article. I took a picture of this. The fiduciary ruling was one of the most hotly debated topics in finance, with many brokers and investment firms doing all they could to halt it from being enacted. So we were sitting there having registered as fiduciaries from 05 until around, so for about, you know, a little over a decade, feeling like, oh, great. Finally, this is going to really make sense. This was great news to all the fiduciaries that were out there. But it was terrifying to the sales organizations because this meant, well, I'll go on to read just from here rather than just it being my opinion. But the fiduciary ruling was brought into effect to protect the interests of clients versus financial interests of their brokers and advisors. This led to lower commissions for brokers, less income from churning portfolios, and increased compliance costs. And that's a big one, more on the corporate level, not on the trickle down to the advisor level. But yeah, the compliance costs of enacting this Department of Labor ruling were staggering, just terrifying. And there was an argument that could be made and was made that, look, we're not taking advantage of people. We're just, these are costs of doing business. I mean, it just became this incredible debate. And we were just sitting there eating the popcorn. You know, like, this was fascinating to us. But what started to happen, Roger, was that the landscape within financial services started to change. We don't know what happened from 2015 to 2018, but it seems like a lot of the big firms were pre-positioning for which way this is going to go. Is this law actually going to be enacted, or is it going to go away? And we are going to fight this thing. And the lobbyists got involved. I mean, it was just an incredibly powerful lobby, right? But ultimately, a lot of these organizations, you know, they're publicly traded, so they do have a fiduciary obligation, but it's to their shareholders. Well, the easiest way to increase shareholder profitability is to do what? It's to put the screws to your sales force, or to cut back in deals, or, you know, all kinds of things. So am I being articulate thus far? Are you tracking
with
me?
I remember an incident with a big company. I think they have a Stagecoach as their kind of logo, where their salespeople were opening up accounts on the banking level.
On the banking side, yeah.
Because there was so much pressure on these people to perform or lose their job that they felt that was the only way they could hang on to their job was by creating accounts in, you know, people's names that these people knew nothing about. And when it came to light, it was bad press.
But, right.
So I'm kind of tracking on where you're headed with,
yeah,
with that.
And that was the banking side. And okay, so it's really important to me out of love for this profession. How are we doing on time?
We're great.
Okay. So this is in no way intended to be disparaging. I know some phenomenal financial advisors at the Merrill Lynch's, the Morgan Stanley's, the Goldman Sachs, the Wells Fargo's of the world, the Ed Jones, all those that we've mentioned. We are just laying out the landscape for folks. And then they can, and the idea here is that on the wealth side, Healthy Wealthy Wise Show, within the wealth paradigm, you can have more peace when you go to your financial advisor, armed with some of the information that you might learn here, and just ask good questions. And if more informed questions, that's the idea. And if the then it's up to the firm to explain it however they see it. You know, there's always two sides to every story. And what I'm really trying to do here is be objective. And it's easy to drift into it feeling accusatory or defaming in a way, and I want to be very careful there. One, because it's in my heart, but two, just legally, you know, I don't want to misspeak. So that's, you're right. That did happen, though. That while that was on the banking side, I think it is indicative of this kind of sense. I mean, there's a reason this rule was being brought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like we're bringing we're casting disparaging remarks that aren't warranted because this doesn't come out of the president's mouth without it being a really significant deal. Because why was he calling for this? Well, it was because people either weren't feeling peaceful because they just didn't understand, or because there really was nefarious activity. I mean, there was nefarious intention. I mean, there was churning and high commissions and all that. I mean, this stuff was going on. So when it rolled out in 2015, you know, we were cheering that on the fiduciary side. And we just wanted to see everybody at the brokerage houses become fiduciaries, you know, pretty straightforward. But again, very expensive on a lot of different levels. And from 2015 to 2018, this thing just flopped and flipped. And by 2018, all that I know, and this is just my observation as a practitioner, was I started seeing this layering of fees. And I don't know if this was ERISA, I don't know if it was the fiduciary rule. There was a lot going on in the industry around this time. But as I understand it, the way that the rule was reading was that the clients were needing to get fiduciary counsel on their investments. And so that's how the rule was starting to shape up. Now, I'm not 100% on this. I don't know exactly what happened behind the scenes. But what I did see was that a lot of the big brokerage firms stepped in and started managing portfolios for their clients. So that's fine. But we also at the same time saw a new fee come into the mix. So it seemed to me, and only me, that there was this prepositioning for, okay, if this rule comes, we better be able to deliver quote unquote fiduciary counsel. The way we're reading the law is that fiduciary counsel is related to the investments. I, again, don't have, nobody really understands how it happened. But at the end of the day, what we know is that it died. In 2018, the Department of Labor ruling never made it to law. It was never enacted. So again, 2015 to 18, a lot of stuff. But from 18 on into today, what we see is a lot of big brokerages that have moved to managing client portfolios, which has a cost, which is usually negotiable. And I've seen ranges of 0.6 to 3.6. Like, and the broker can usually, and everybody signs off on it, but you can choose, you can negotiate that fee. But then it's usually funded, or often is funded, with mutual funds, sometimes with the brokerage's own mutual funds that have their own fees. And then you've got John or Susan or whoever, the advisor, and they're charging their 1.5 or whatever it is. So the client usually is aware of the 1 to 1.5 that they're paying to John or Susan. Generally know that there are some fees with the investments, but not really sure. But when you really do the math, often you're seeing, call it the 1.5 to the advisor, and then you're seeing a mutual fund fee of average, say, 1%, so you're at 2.5%. And then depending on what was negotiated, if there's any cost for the company to be managing the investments, then there's that cost too, which can range meaningfully. So let's just say you're easily in at 3%. You think you're in at 1.5%. The delta on that, on $1 million or whatever over 30 years, is just staggering.
Yeah.
So what happened is that the law died. The industry has a new profit center. They are some of these robo advisor style or algorithm based, or maybe even individual investment committees working on the portfolios. You know, they're good or bad to varying degrees, but at the end of the day, no matter how good the deliverable is, the rule died, and you still have a bifurcation in our industry and an overweighted one at that, 5-ish%. And that was actually, that might be old data. Let's say it's 10%. You know, I don't know exactly the number, but it's, you know, not the majority are fiduciaries, and the majority are working under the suitability standard. We've kind of talked and swirled around the whys of that and why is this important, and maybe the client or the listeners have a little bit more clarity, but at a minimum, they have something that they can now go to their advisors with and just ask good, more informed questions, which was the goal of today, and hope that those questions are answered well by their friend who they've trusted with their life story, for worked with them for 20, 30 years, you know, this, that they stay there, but they just have more confidence. You know, so yeah. That's the goal. Does that help?
Well, yeah. And part of the problem is that, you know, there really is no financial education in school. They don't tell you. A lot of people have a natural knack for it. Others, they don't know. And I'd heard a statistic where there were so many people that aren't even prepared for retirement. I mean, it's a frightening aspect of it. You know what? This was a great conversation. Why don't you give some information how people can get a hold of you guys?
Yeah.
And we'll wrap this up for this week.
Yeah, appreciate that. There's a lot of information on the website, and that's wealthpartner.com, WELLTH partner.com. You can go there and sniff around and see if you like what's on there. Feel free to shoot us a note through the website if you want to be in touch. I've got one of our team members, our wealth coordinator, Ann Noel, just available and ready to set a 15-minute call if you want to chat with us a little bit more. And if not, no sweat. We're still just hoping you enjoyed the show.
Very good. And thank you so much. And that'll do it today for Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. Another great program. And thank you for being here today.
Thanks.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell, or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the effecting of transaction in securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.